I did something a couple weeks ago I have very, very rarely done. I hardly ever call one of the folks that are singing and ask them to sing a certain song. Brother Clyde and Frieda, I know it's been several years ago, gave me one of their CD. It's a two-CD set, and I bet you I've listened to it 100 times. I told Clyde yesterday, I bet you I've listened to it 100 times. And yet, it was just a couple, 3 weeks ago that I really heard the song that they just sang, Jesus Built This Church on Love. And that song got in my head, and Tammy, you've been singing it to me for the last 2 weeks, over and over and over again. And thank you so much for singing it this morning. The Lord just, I told Brother Clyde, boy, he just put a sermon in my heart. In fact, it was when we were down in Florida a couple of weeks ago that the Lord just kept working and working. And I called Brother Clyde and I said, Brother Clyde, you know, could I just ask you to sing this song on the third Sunday when you sing? And again, I hardly ever do that. Hardly, you can talk to them, anybody else. I hardly ever call them up and ask them to sing. I just let the Lord tell them. But I wanted them to sing that song because I wanted to preach this sermon. I've entitled it, Jesus Built This Church on Love. And this morning, I want to talk to you about our church. I would remind you this morning that our church is not this building. I'm so thankful that God has given this building for us to meet in. But a church is not a building. A church is a called out group of believers. And in a sense, all Christians form a church. In a sense, when a person gets saved, they become part of the church of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to talk to you about that church this morning. I mean, we are a part of that church, but I don't want to talk to you about that church. In a sense, there's a church being formed in heaven. Every time a Christian leaves this world and goes to heaven, they become part of that called out group of believers in heaven. And one day, Lord willing, all of us, either by way of death or by way of the rapture, will go to be a part of that church in heaven. I don't want to talk to you about that church this morning either. I want to talk to you about our church. I want to talk to you about Fellowship Baptist Church. I want to talk to you about the church that's meeting together at 1143 at 14046 North Saginaw Road in Clio, Michigan. I want to talk about this church. I would remind you this morning as I start that this church, our church, belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was built and is being built by him. I don't think he's done with this yet. I think he's still in the building process. But this church belongs to him. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter spoke up for the group. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said back to Peter, "Peter, you're blessed. Because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven." And Peter, that kind of faith, that kind of confession, that kind of belief that I am the Messiah is the rock that I'm going to build my church on. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. Again, I'm not talking about the universal church at some call, and I'm not talking about the church that's being formed in heaven. I'm talking about our church. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I submit to you this morning that this church, our church, Fellowship Baptist Church, is being built by the Lord Jesus Christ on love. Amen. On love. Jesus is building this church on love. The love, number one, the love of God for man. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." That word world doesn't mean the earth. It doesn't mean the continents and the oceans that make up the globe on which we live. When that verse says, "For God so loved the world," he wasn't talking about the planet. He was talking about mankind. He was talking about men and women and boys and girls that live on that earth. For God so loved all of us. So God so loved every individual. And because God couldn't describe how much he loved us, because words don't exist to describe the love of God, he had to use that little word, so. How much did God love us? So much he loved us. How much does he love us? He can't put it into words so that we can understand. And so he has to say, I loved you so much. And you've heard me say before, love is more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling. Now, sometimes love includes warm, fuzzy feelings, but love, true love, is much more than that. Love is an action. And God's love is an action. For God so loved all of us that he gave. He gave. He gave us a remedy to the sickness that all men are inflicted with. He gave us a solution to a problem that all men have. He gave us an answer to a question that all of us have, but we cannot answer on our own. That sickness, that problem, that question is the sin sickness, is the sin problem, is the sin question. You see, the Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all failed to measure up to his standard of righteousness. We've all turned away from God's way to our own way. And that sin separates us from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's not physical death. It's spiritual death. It's being separated from God. That's what our sin does to us. It separates us from the God who loved every one of us so much. It separates us from him and from his love. And so there was nothing that we could do. We had a sickness we could not heal. We had a problem we could not solve. We had a question we could not answer. And so God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He sent the sweetest thing that heaven had. We read about it in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. When the Bible says, but God commendeth, demonstrated, proved his love. Again, a love that could only be described by the use of the word so. But God commendeth his love toward us, the world, every single person. Every single person that has ever walked the face of this earth, God loved. And he loved us so much in that while we were yet sinners, God didn't wait till we turned over a new leaf. He didn't wait till we cleaned up our life. When we were still at war with God, when we were still an enemy of God, the Bible uses the word enmity. When we were still at enmity with God, when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty that we owe for our sin. But God loved us so much. Again, he sent the sweetest thing that heaven had to offer. He sent his only begotten son, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000. He sent his son to die for us. He sent his son to die for our sins. He sent his son to pay the price of our sins. We read there in verse 7. That verse says, you know, nobody would die. Nobody would willingly die for a righteous man. There's some, pre-adventure, there might be some that would die for a good man, somebody that you love, somebody that you care about a lot. Maybe there's some that would die for them. But Jesus didn't die for righteous people. Jesus didn't die for good people. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus died for you and me. This church is built on love, the love that God has for mankind, the love that was demonstrated when he sent his son to a cross to pay for sins that he did not commit, but to pay for sins that I committed, and to pay for sins that you committed, and to pay for the sins of every person on the face of the earth, every person that's ever walked the face of the earth, every person that will walk the face of the earth. Jesus went to Calvary to pay for our sins. I like that song that says, if we with ink the ocean filled, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. It would use up every drop of ink. If we filled up the oceans with ink, it would use up every drop of ink. nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. This church was built on love, the love that God has for every single one of us. I submit to you this morning, that's why we're here. If God didn't love you, you would not be here. If God didn't love me, I wouldn't be here. A love that offers to all salvation in Jesus Christ. Let me go ahead. I started John 3:16. Let me go ahead and finish it. For God so loved the world, all of us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This church is built on love. Number one, the love that God has for man. This church, number two, is built on love, the love that man has for God. In 1 John 4:19, the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. When you enter into the love of Christ, when you realize that you're a sinner and you confess your sins to God and you come to Jesus and claim the price that he paid on Calvary for yourself, and you enter into the love of God, you can't help but loving God back. Just a natural reaction. You can't help but loving him back. Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And again, our love for God is just more than a warm, fuzzy feeling. Our love for God is more than just a feeling of gratitude for what he's done for us. Our love for God needs to be an action. Our love for God is demonstrated when we put aside our will and we surrender to his will. We love God back, and when we are obedient. We love God back when we live according to the Bible. We love God back when we strive to please him in all that we do. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's what God wants. That's the kind of love he wants. He wants us to put his will first. He wants us to put aside our will and surrender to his will. He wants us to seek his kingdom first. He made a promise along with that request when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things, I know you need them. I know you need food. I know you need clothes. I know you need a place to live. You seek my kingdom first, and I'll take care of all that for you. And I submit to you this morning that Jesus has built and is building this church, our church, Fellowship Baptist Church, on a people that love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and all their strength. A people that show their love by being obedient. A people that strive to put God first in their every endeavor. I'll get it. Jesus built this church on love. The love of God for man. The love of man for God. Jesus built this church on love. The love of man for man. Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. Again, love is more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love is an action. Our love for others should not be just warm thoughts or loving words. It's deeds. It's doing things. It's meeting needs. It's lending a helping hand. Yes, it's the hugs and the handshakes that we enjoy when we come together into this place, but it's crying and weeping when a heartache comes to another. It's embracing them. Oh, I want to tell you this morning, little Anastasia, she's back in the nursery. She's pointing out pictures on the wall. Listen, don't quit praying yet. Don't quit praying. She's still got a long ways to go, but God's given some of her sight back. That's what love is. Amen. That's what love is. It's when things like that come into our life
We have a group of people that love us, that gather around us, that lift us up in prayer, that support us, that say, whatever you need, you let me know. That love is expressed when we hold one another up in prayer. That love is expressed when we put aside our desires and our needs to meet the needs and desires of somebody else. Jesus built this church on love. Love of God for man. Love of man for God. Love of man for man. And as LaVon sang a moment ago, that's what it's all about. This church is built on love. That's what it's all about. Did you listen to the next line? Trying to get everybody saved. Not to leave anybody out. Bible tells us God's not willing that any should perish. Neither are we. God wants everybody to come to repentance. That's our desire as well. We don't want anybody to go to hell. We believe that Jesus Christ paid for the sins of every person, and every person has a place in heaven if they'll come and take the forgiveness that God offers on through the cross of Calvary. And so that's what it's all about. Trying to get everybody saved. Not to leave anybody out. The doors are wide open. This church has always been, always will be. My prayer is always will be open. The doors will be open. Nobody will be rejected. Nobody will be turned away. And those doors are just as big as the love of the Father in heaven. How big is God's love? I'm going to use a little kid word. You know how big God's love is? It's humongous. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but it means bigger than big. The love of God is humongous. The love of God is big enough to say, whosoever will. Amen. Whosoever will. Whosoever will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever excludes no one. Whosoever leaves nobody out. Whosoever is all inclusive. Whosoever encompasses everybody. Whosoever included you. And whosoever included me. Let me ask you this morning, if you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, He loves you. How much does He love you? He loves you so much. And He demonstrated that love when He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. Just go ahead and make it personal, because it is personal. If you were the only sinner that ever lived, Jesus Christ would have come and died for your sins. He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for your sins. And He invites you to come and get His forgiveness. He invites you to come and get His pardon. He invites you to come and trade your eternal death for eternal life. When He said, whosoever will, Jesus built this church on love. Our church, this church, is built on the love of God for man. It's built on the love of man for God. And it's built on the love of man for man. If you're here today and you've not claimed that love for yourself, I invite you to do it just now. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. You can either pay it yourself and be separated from God forever, or you can let the Lord Jesus Christ pay it for you. That's what He did on Calvary. And He invites you to come. He invites you to come to Him. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Would you claim that this morning? Would you take the gift that God has purchased for you on Calvary? I pray that you will. Our church prays you that you will. Hey, that's why we're here. That's what it's all about. Trying to get everybody saved, not to leave anybody out. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the love that you showed for us when you sent Christ to die in our place on Calvary's cross. And I pray for that one that might be here this morning that doesn't know Jesus. I pray they'd see their sin, the penalty for that sin, and the fact that it's all been paid for. All they have to do is take the gift that Jesus offers to every person, the gift of life. And so I pray in just a moment when we sing a song of invitation that those that might be here that have never received Christ would come. And we could take the Bible and we could show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. So I just pray, Father, that you'd bless this time of invitation. You'd speak to hearts. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be obedient to what you're calling us to do. And I know that in a crowd like this, there's got to be somebody that doesn't know Christ. Help them to be obedient to the call of the gospel. Maybe there's somebody here that has been saved and they need to be baptized. Help them to be obedient to that call, to identify with Christ. Maybe there's somebody here that you're speaking to about joining the church. And I pray, Father, that they would be obedient. This is the church they have for them, that they would be obedient to that call as well. So I ask you to just bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.